a variety of responsibilities beyond the traditional DOT in the country, beyond just the typical design and construction of projects. We're also responsible then for maintaining our roadways, as well as having a responsibility of transit with our Delaware Transit Corporation, as well as our Division of Motor Vehicles has been added under the DelDOT family. As I mentioned before, we are different than many of the other DOTs, who are typically responsible for about 20% of their highways and bridges. And in Delaware, being small, we are responsible for close to 90%. So our responsibilities are diverse and run everywhere from a down stop sign to drainage issues to improving our major highways. And in those highways, we maintain over 12,000 lane miles, over 1,300 bridges. As mentioned before, we also then have a responsibility for providing our DART First Aid, our fixed route buses throughout the state, as well as our paratransit service, which is critically important to our seniors and disabled community throughout the state. And we do that proudly to serve those and do that, we are the only state in the nation who does provide that statewide. Responsible for a majority of all the traffic signals in the state. We, as you know, also have the Easy Pass transactions going on and a very busy state with having the transactions, whether it's on Route 1 or I-95, letting you know, too, that we're also mindful of being good stewards of the taxpayers' money, where we, when we borrow money, we've received a high standard from the Moody's and Standard & Poor from the bond rating agencies, as well as the fact that we continue to push more folks into using our Easy Pass system so we can reduce congestion on some of the major roadways. I mentioned before about our motor vehicle department. We have a lot of folks coming through, whether it's Georgetown facility or Dover up north, licensing and registration of vehicles. Inspecting sewer, storm sewer structures, clearly our state in need of keeping things clean and keeping the water flowing so we reduce the amount of flooding that goes on. And last but not least, looking to try and keep our roadways clear and clean by picking up the trash, which is a never-ending battle and one that we struggle with, I would tell you, on a daily basis. But our transportation challenges, we have focused in three primary areas. One being the cost of delivering our service and the increasing demand for transportation solutions. We're also struggling with the decreasing resources available to produce our capital program while those costs are going up and those demands are going up. And certainly the fact that we have several major projects that have been backlogged that we need to move forward on and get completed. As we talk about those increasing costs and demands, just give you a quick slide here, some of those statistics that we've been wrestling with over the last 6 years. Some of these prices have certainly are even in our personal lives, whether it's fuel and hot mix. We certainly use a significant amount for our roadways, but even down to the land prices, as you certainly are well aware, in this part of our state have been all over the map, and this is an average cost. It's much higher when we look at the beach area. Also, the demand for our services as our population approaches an increasing over the last 6 years of a growth of over close to 9%. That means more drivers, more people going on our roadways, more demand for transit services. So the overall growth of our state is also putting pressure on the need for more projects. We talked about our revenues not keeping up. Many of the standard sources coming into the trust fund that we use to support our capital and operating program come from several key areas, one of them being the annual registration fee, and that this fee has not increased since 1965. Give you a couple comparisons here to illustrate the fact that we are considerably lower than some of the other states. Our documentation fee for vehicles as well has also not been increased for several years and is considerably lower than our surrounding states. Our motor fuel tax, not too far out of whack of Maryland, but if you even look at Pennsylvania, considerably less there. And again, that has not been increased for over 10 years. We look at our tolls, another important contributor to revenues that we use for our capital program. The tolls of Route 1 have not been increased since the opening of the facility. And if you look at that in comparison to several other similar toll roadways at 5 cents a mile, it is a pretty good bargain still. The overall revenue sources that we use go into what's called the Transportation Trust Fund. And this is our state fund, and it's a very stable source. The funds that we primarily draw from, I just articulated several of them, the tolls and the motor vehicle fees and the taxes are all significant contributors. These numbers are certainly not small by any stretch of the imagination, and they're very stable. Unfortunately, they've been going up about 2 to 4% over the last 10 years. And so with those numbers in comparison to some of the other materials that we use to deliver our program, it's not keeping up. And all of this at the end translates to really where we are as a crossroads, as an agency, where we have increasing costs, increasing demand due to the growth of our state. We have our trust fund revenues that are stable but are not growing. And at the end of the day, this has caused a funding shortfall that we are now wrestling with. As I was brought on as secretary a little over a year ago, the governor challenged myself and the staff at DLDOT to look harder at our program, to look at how we're making our decisions as we go about trying to solve our revenue issues and solve the transportation problems. So what we did was we wanted to be sure that we were focusing what our most important aspect of DLDOT's business is, and we recognize that as our core business. And for us, that translates to ensuring that we're maintaining our assets and improving safety. We've invested a lot of capital money in roads and bridges and heavy equipment and of things of that like. And as you know, in your daily lives, trying to maintain those kinds of things, whether it's your home or so forth, maintaining them is a lot more effective way to go about that rather than letting it go into huge disrepair and investing a lot of money to fix them up. We are also a 24/7 service, an operation that provides response for incidences throughout the state. Weather events, certainly we're there, and then we take a lot of pride in being there for our state, but it's also part of what we recognize as our core business, and we need to be sure that we do a good job of that as we look forward to how we allocate our resources. We also need to be about maximizing our federal funds. We receive federal money, as all the states do, and those funds then can be used on certain roadways and certain projects in our state. About 30% of our road system is federally eligible. That leaves the other 70% in need of our state dollars. So we need to be very, very diligent about using those federal dollars and not losing sight of applying those to important projects. We also work very hard with our congressional delegation to see if we can secure additional federal funds by working with them for appropriations or earmarks. We also wanted to look at where we are as far as a recognition of the amount of revenue and the amount of shortfall that we've been talking about for the last couple years. The governor had put together a task force a couple years back that tried to put their arms around the magnitude of our issues, the magnitude of our projects, and our financial concerns. And so as we took that $2.7 billion shortfall number that has been around in the media as we recognized through that task force, we've been trying to look at that and really peel back the onion and really understand where we are as a business, as an agency. And so from that point, we looked at updating our project cost estimates to be sure we were reflecting the current costs of doing our business of those materials I talked about before. We also looked at aligning our costs with our ability to produce. Realistically, we cannot control all aspects of delivering a construction project, and we needed to recognize that even if you keep putting more and more money or DLDOT staff at something, there are still limitations that we cannot control, whether it's trying to get a core permit from the Army Corps of Engineers, getting utility companies to relocate their utilities. There are things, there are pinch points that we need to be mindful of. So as we translated all of that, we believe we've taken all of that intelligence and our professional judgment and created a realistic capital transportation program for the next 6 years. And when doing so, that took that $2.7 billion and created a $1.5 billion number that we recommended to the governor that we needed to then solve. That certainly is still a significant number by all means, not to minimize it, but we knew we had to be defensible as far as looking at the projects and looking at the program, and we needed to be able to convey that we could deliver those and not overstate and create false expectations. And so when we did that, we laid out various projects and wanted to just give you a sense of the kinds of projects that we know are here before us. They're all throughout the state. These are projects, as I mentioned before, kind of a backlog of things that have been worked on that need to get done, that people have recognized for depending upon where you are, many years. And the proposed program that we have is part of delivering these projects. These are just examples, again, not a full program. And then in continuing forward, we have certainly other projects, too, that will continue to receive funding, whether it's the US 113 project, the Western Parkway through this area. These will continue to receive funding but would not be completed in the six-year time period of the 2008 to 2013 program that we're talking about at the moment. The proposed program would also then provide sufficient state money to leverage the federal funds. That's very important because there's an 80-20 match, and therefore you would need state money to secure those federal funds, and we need to preserve that and use those dollars, as well as protecting our core business, as I mentioned before, very critical to our pave and rehab program, bridge repairs, replacing our important heavy equipment, our buses, and so forth. As we bring all that together, we come to the discussion again about how do we address the shortfall to get those projects done, to get through the six-year program, and then to continue to add more into the program for needs that are continuing to grow. We look at borrowing. Certainly that's an important tool in the toolbox for any capital agency where you have projects that are going to last for, you know, 20 and 30 years, and we'll continue to do that in a responsible fiscal way to borrow to a certain extent, but not to the point where you're borrowing so much of the future that it's becoming fiscally irresponsible. We revised our capital plan, talked about that a little bit before as far as how we feel we've put together a more realistic capital program. And last but not least, that translates to a point where we're going to need revenue enhancements to take what we are currently what we currently have coming into the trust fund and going beyond that and enhancing that with additional funds coming in to be able to support the program that we believe is important for our state. And so the governor has then taken that information from us and has prepared that we're here to talk through and to certainly begin further discussions about these revenue ideas. And certainly nobody wants to see fees increased, and nobody's really applauding us for all of that, that's for sure. But it's a good place to start, and it's a recognition that these particular fees have not been increased for many years. These are fees that are user fees, so as you use the road, as you use the facilities with your car, the money goes back into the Transportation Trust Fund directly, and that's, we think, is very important to stay true to. The increasing the motor fuel tax, certainly an important piece of the trust fund revenue sources. Again, with the volatility of the fuel today, that's a tough one. I certainly hear that, but it does generate a significant amount of money for us. Documentation fee, increasing that in two lifts, some in 08 and 09 to bring that up to 4.5%. Eliminating some of the or changing some of the toll structures on Route 1. On I-95, some discounts that had been provided to trucks and commercial vehicles would be eliminating. Eliminating some of the discounts on Route 1 and then raising the tolls as well. And last but not least, the vehicle registration, which again had not been increased since 1965, and looking to increase that by 50%, so that would go from $20 to $30. As a result of those revenue increases, we get close, but not completely, for the full $1.5 billion shortfall that we've articulated for the 6 years. There are still other ideas out there, certainly. One of the ones that's been talked about, not only in this state, but in others as far as leasing your assets. We certainly have a significant one in I-95. It could be investigated further for a long-term lease. But there's a lot of pros and cons of that and a lot of public controversy, I think. And we would need to do a lot of homework and due diligence and information sharing and education with folks before we could go too far into that. But it is out there. It is something that could be pursued further. The open container bill is another aspect of the program we highlight in the fact that right now the money isn't all coming to DLDOT because we have not passed specific legislation that the feds are saying we need to get onto, or else they'll actually keep the $14.4 million. That's over a six-year time period. But eventually, if we don't change this legislation, then we'll actually lose the money. And certainly there are other ideas out there looking at different ways to to increase our revenues that are being talked about. So for our focus moving forward, when we come to this point, is certainly looking for securing additional funds to support the capital program that we have put before the public as a draft. We held the public workshops in April to solicit more comments and input, and we continue to maintain our focus on completing the backlog of critical projects. We need to move on with 24 and 54 and 26. They need to get done, and delivering transit services. And then looking out to the out years of the six-year program to prioritize future capital needs and to be able to focus on safety and operational capacity problems, and future expansion of transit service would be part of those part of that priority. Excuse me.
Take it slow.
We have the next couple slides. It's just a listing of a variety of projects that are in the Sussex County, and these are projects that we've been working on. We've been out at public meetings. These are things that are in various stages of development, and I won't go through any, each one in particular. But these are all things that are part of the draft CTP that we really know that are important to this part of our state. And we'll continue to, I think, certainly recognize their value, recognize that with the additional funds that we continue to push forward on these, and recognize there's even more that this part of the state needs as well. And that would be that.
We want to thank you. Councilman, do you have any questions for Secretary?
I've always been curious about this, that a subdivision can bring their roads up to state standards and then the state accepts them, and I guess they accept a certain amount of cost with that once the state accepts them. So I have to maintain them, and I guess there's snow removal. How can you continue to do that? That seems to me just crazy.
Well, and it's not just subdivision streets. It's any time you put another turn lane in, you put in additional expansion. Wherever you expand the system, in general, we're adding more into our maintenance program.
Right.
And so.
But a lot of these are private subdivisions, and I just think that there's no reason for you all to be into these private subdivisions, and I just don't know how you can keep maintain all this because.
Well, I guess the recognition that as if they are to a certain level, a certain standard of quality and depth of pavement and so forth, that they've got a long life to them to start with. And as we all pay taxes into various things, that then that becomes part of what the state agency is responsible for. I mean, it's a challenge. I agree with you.
I can't imagine that Maryland does that. I can't imagine other
states.
Well,
you're right, because the other states. They have the cities, the counties, the municipalities take on those local roads.
Yeah.
And, at 90% of the road system that we take on, it just continues to be a larger burden. But that has been the Delaware way.
Yeah, but it may not be the right way.
It may not.
Well, I think
all these monies, constraints we have here, I just think that you ought to revisit that somewhere along the line and just
that'd be right.
But whatever.
I think you prioritize those subdivisions. I mean, that's not number one on your priority. You do the roads first.
Well, the Community Transportation Fund is really the program where the legislators have additional funds to be able to deal with fixing some of the subdivision streets and sidewalks. But they clearly stand here and tell you it doesn't go as far as it needs to as far as funding.
Well, fortunately, we haven't had a lot of need for snow removal.
And there's snow removal.
Last couple of 3 years. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we're getting out of that. Mr. Baker?
One question on you mentioned improvements on 24 and 26 and 54. Are those included in your six-year plan? And
yes, they are. They are included for finishing design, buying the right-of-way, and going through construction. But we need to stay focused on the additional revenues to get them all the way through. Those are very significant projects. and you know, they're have a fair amount of cost to go with them to get them done, but they're critical east-west roads, as you obviously all know. So, but they're part of the program and recognize need of that backlog I talked about, but we need to support the revenues to get them done.
Have you seen any change with mass transit, like with the price of gas going up and the
yes.
growth in Sussex County? Just
yes, we have. We continue to see those numbers grow in the last 2 to 3 years. Just a steady, a really nice steady increase in that, and we continually get, you know, requests for expanding the service. And certainly down in this, in the beach area, there's been the growth there continues as well. So at the front end of the program, we talk about being able to replace some of the buses and to buy new buses for paratransit. That's a really significant part of the transit budget right now, is providing that paratransit service. But we recognize that as a balancing act between providing the roadways and supporting enough of the transit system. We also look to try and work with private sector people to be able to help to get them to help partner with us to offset some of the cost.
And like with the problems anticipated on Route 1 this summer, I don't know if there might be a way to help with mass transit to help.
Well, one of the things we've done there is to be able to provide some free service for, like, the folks who bike along Route 1 and taking, you know, because that's a challenge, obviously, under the construction conditions, to encourage them to use the bus and to see what we can do with expanding the, you know, the frequency of the bus through the summer.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Dale, I think she was faster tonight than
she was
the other night.
I think I was too.
Harder group.
Is there any way I can get a hard copy of your presentation?
Yes.
It's on tape.
Go ahead. Did you get an email to it? Is that good?
Fine.
I'll email
it
to you tomorrow.
Okay, that's good. Do you have my email? Let me give it to you.
Secretary, I see one hand. He's got a question. I hesitate in opening the floor because. No, we will not take questions from the floor. Thank you.
You blew it, Dan.
I'm sorry. We've got too much on the agenda, and we're going to get behind already. Will you be staying or will you be leaving?
If you wouldn't mind, I would.
You're welcome to leave. If they have questions for you, they can follow you outside.
Would
that be okay?
We have a subdivision.
Okay.
Professional center wants to get right.
Because we've got public hearings coming up in 20 minutes.
Okay. Thank you all very much.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you coming down. Mr. Baker, you want to go back to... the Agricultural Land Preservation Program recommendation?
Yes. About a week ago, Ms. Wendy Baker and Susan Webb and myself met with Mr. Milton Melendez from the State of Delaware Agriculture Preservation Program, and we discussed the properties that have been applied for that program this year. We reviewed a list of properties eligible, and there were 25 applications of various properties. The Land Trust Board of Directors is recommending the purchase of agricultural preservation easements on two different farms, and Mrs. Webb and myself are in agreement with the recommendation. Over the last 4 years, the county, in a cooperative effort with the state and the Land Trust, has funded the purchase of development rights for 2,246 acres with this program. The county has expended $1,550,000 for easements to reserve farmland in Sussex, which will preserve open space and protect agriculture. And we have two charts up there. One, I have some extra copies here. This shows in red, there's a listing of properties that we have purchased ag land preservation rights, permanent rights, that total 2,246 acres. And this has been a cooperative effort with the Land Trust and the state and federal government. And if you look at the red areas, those are the ones that we've actually purchased.
Up here.
And what I'd like to do is turn this over to Ms. Wendy Baker, who is the CEO for the Land Trust, and she can explain the two farms that we are recommending that we consider tonight which we where we would use fiscal 2007 funds that we have budgeted to fund. Thanks.
There's two.
Yeah. This one. Yeah. Is that awesome? That's not there.
Good evening. Mm-hmm. My name is Wendy Baker, President and CEO of the Sussex County Land Trust. I'm here this evening to talk about land acquisition recommendations for Round 12 of the Department of Ag easements. After meeting with the Department of Agriculture, the county, and the Board of Trustees to review the farms participating in this round, taking into account their geographic location, reviewing our selection criteria, and lastly applying our Grand Preservation Loop Initiative, which aims to connect the many large protected holdings already in place with a wildlife corridor no less than 1,000 feet. It became apparent to our board that two properties located west of 113, properties which are contiguous or very near other protected lands and are in the Nanticoke watershed and adjacent to state holdings at Trap Pond State Park. I come before you on behalf of our board to recommend parcel number 11 and parcel number 7, totaling $1,075,087. The benefits of this program is the ability to leverage funds. With the participation in this round, we expect from the state $405,705 and a federal match of $263,677 for a total of $1,075,087. These two farms are located on your map. I don't know if you can see which ones they are.
Maps are on the computer so they can zoom in.
Number 11 and what?
Number 7. Number 7 is located on Hastings Farm Road and Gravelly Branch, very near the Nature Conservancy holdings and some state holdings. And then number 11, God bless somebody, is near Trap Pond State Park and Trussum State Pond. It's directly adjacent to, all the way at the bottom. It's the southernmost property.
What number is it?
Number 11.
I know we're getting there. I went to Maryland.
They just learned tonight.
I didn't realize they were going to have new toys here.
Yes, Laurel. 225. We got that this morning.
There's 11. Okay.
Must be it. Yeah, it must be it.
There's 7.
I don't know.
Thank you.
We have the wrong map again.
No, that's already in preservation.
Right.
It's already, it's ag.
Right. Gentlemen, what I just handed out this evening is the latest brochure that the Land Trust has spent probably the last 6 months working with state and with other private nonprofits to produce. The first part of the brochure, you'll see a letter from our chairman, from Dennis, and then the fold-out portion and the takeaway that you can keep is a map that shows the protected lands, and it also details the Grand Preservation Loop. So you start up at the top and at Prime Hook National Wildlife Refuge, go down to Redden State Forest, go around Seaford to the Nanticoke Wildlife Area, around Laurel to Trap Pond State Park, and then to the Inland Bays to Fenwick Island State Park, Assawoman Wildlife Area, Delaware Seashore State Park, Cape Henlopen, and then back up again to Prime Hook.
Yeah,
The brochure also outlines our purpose, our mission, and how to get in touch with the land trust. So I guess this evening I'm asking for two things. I'm asking for the county council to approve the recommendation by the land trust for the two parcels to participate in round 12, as well as to use county pledged funds totaling no more than $105,705.
And I handed out a breakdown of the funding, and Mr. Melendez is here also. I don't know if he would like to make any comments, but the two farms total $1,075,000. And the county, we have budgeted $300,000 specifically for this program. There, we have about $154,000 remaining in the fiscal 2007 budget for the open space. So we could use $105,705 of that money towards this purchase. That's a maximum amount. And I know Mr. Melendez explained earlier that could be lower depending on what happens with other counties, with Kent County and Newcastle County in terms of their funding. So this is the maximum amount that the county would expend for the properties, $405,705. The state would match that, and then the federal government would be at a minimum of $263,677. So...
The cost per acre, if you take the $300,000 and the $105,000, is $1,895.82 is the cost per acre. On the total amount without the matching funds, it brings that up to $5,023.77. That's a really good cost per acre analysis.
We have a proposed motion, if you would. We have a proposed motion, if you...
Sure.
Unless you have any questions or whatever?
Yes.
Okay. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council awards up to $405,705 from the Sussex County Council to the Delaware Agriculture Lands Preservation Foundation, to be matched on a one-on-one funding basis by the state of Delaware for up to $405,705 and by a minimum of $263,677 in federal funds for farmland preservation easements for two farms totaling approximately 214 acres. And be it further moved that the properties are selected based on the recommendation of the Sussex County Land Trust and are contingent on the availability of federal, state, and county funds.
This money has been escrowed. It's
pledged.
Yes, it's in the fiscal 2007 budget.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, we would only have about $48,000 remaining for open space this.
Oh seven, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Have we gotten any land purchased for public access this year out of it?
This year, we...
How many acres did we go put public money to public access?
We came before you for the Burton track, and we also came before you for another TNC back in December, and one of which was with the Nature Conservancy, and that was public access.
Yeah.
How many acres was that? Did anybody know?
I have it right here somewhere.
It was 327. The tunnel track. Yeah.
The tunnel track.
We're in State Forest.
Any motion, gentlemen? What's your pleasure?
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Rogers, seconded by Mr. Phillips. The motion was just read by Mr. Baker. Any questions on the motion? Being none, Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
Yes, motion is carried.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Mr. Godwin.